Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back.
You got to let it go a little bit. That's kind of the rule.
Yeah, when it's a song I like a lot, then I usually let it roll a little bit longer. Welcome back to the morning show here on 1620 The Zone. Last half hour here with you on a Tuesday. As I mentioned, our friend Jacob Padilla has had to hit the road. So it's just me and Jimmy for the last half hour with you here today. So wanted to talk a couple minutes here about the coaching staff that is being assembled currently by Matt Rhule. So as I'm sure you've heard, the assistant pool is set at $7 million.
Decent.
I'm going to be on. Yeah, that's up from just over five last year. So it's a step in the right direction. Last year, I believe that would have been top 10 nationally. The numbers are going up, so it will probably be just outside of that now in terms of where Nebraska stacks up. But I will say this. I don't know that that's a hard cap. I know the contract language says up to $7 million for the 10 on-field coaches. That does not include strength and conditioning. I know there was a report out yesterday that it did. It does not. There is contract language out there showing it is for the 10 on-field coaches. I will say, if it's money to bring back Mickey Joseph, I feel like they're going to get extra money.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about that being an issue. I don't think $7 million is a hard cap, because let's just do some logical thinking here. Jimmy, let's say that you're one of the boosters putting up a ton of money to hire Matt Rhule at just over $9 million a year. Are you really going to quibble over like $500K to have him hire the staff he wants?
Yeah, if Matt Rhule comes to them and says, hey, I have, you know, whatever, hotshot coordinator that usually commands $2 million a year, the money's going to end up being there, because part of the reason why he agreed to the job is they're basically saying, we need you to fix our football program. Name your price. Let us help you. We're ready to help.
Yeah, I mean, they made Matt Rhule a top 10
paid. We want to win again.
Yeah, they made Matt Rhule a top 10 paid football coach in the country. If they are quibbling over anywhere from a few $100,000 to a couple $1 million, and I know to normal people, that's a lot of money. This is, when we're talking about it in the context of this, it's monopoly money. You can't think about it like real money, because it wasn't ever going anywhere else. It wasn't ever going to be part of the university's budget. This is all just monopoly money coming from super rich people that was never going to see the light of day unless it happened for something that they care about, right? So let's, when I say only a couple $1 million, please understand that I mean it in the context of this fake coaching world money.
Yeah, to normal people like us, we go nuts if the gas dips below $3. So we're,
yeah, right. We're not talking about normal people. We're talking about this funny money that happens in college football coaching.
Like, I get pumped for popcorn Fridays around here for a reason.
But I have a very hard time believing that the $7 million is a hard cap. Especially, let's say, you know, you brought up hot shot of the day. Let's talk about Elijah Robinson down at Texas A&M. He is currently the D-line coach down there. He, I believe, was interviewed last year for the Penn State defensive coordinator job. A lot of people are bringing him up as a potential replacement for if Michigan needs to replace their defensive coordinator, which their defensive coordinator is coming up on a lot of Group of Five head coaching lists. I think Elijah Robinson actually comes to Nebraska as your defensive coordinator, not as your defensive line coach. And the reason I say that is he's 37, so he's about that age that if he wants to be a head coach someday, he probably needs to make the jump to coordinator. And also, and I mentioned this with Jacob earlier, I don't know how many of the names that we heard are going to be analysts versus on-field coach, but he's already bringing an assistant D-line coach over from Carolina in Terrence Knighton. This is a guy that played in the NFL for 8 years. He is a guy that's got experience at the NFL level. He's been with Rhule before. So you wonder if Terrence Knighton comes in as the D-line coach, maybe Elijah Robinson comes in as the defensive coordinator. I could see that happening. Elijah Robinson's one of the best recruiters in the country.
Yeah.
He was named.
Checks all the boxes.
Yeah, he was named literally the recruiter of the year by Rivals last year for 2022. He's part of a Texas A&M defensive staff that has not had any issues. All the issues at Texas A&M are on offense, right? You know, Jimbo's bread and butter, ironically enough. Where have we heard that before? Elijah Robinson would be a home run in terms of assistant hires for Nebraska. He would as much as Texas has already opened up just by Matt Rhule being here, Elijah Robinson
just push it even further.
The dam just bursts open to Texas if you've got Matt Rhule and Elijah Robinson recruiting Texas on the same staff. That would be an enormous get for Nebraska, and I think it's realistic. Elijah Robinson has worked with Matt Rhule extensively in the past. The situation at Texas A&M, even though their side of the ball is taking care of things, is tenuous at best. Let's be honest. If the buyout wasn't $86 million, nobody has a job there this year.
Be done.
Like, it's nobody's working there right now if the buyout is even half of that.
I guarantee you there are at least a couple of questions asked. Would it be, okay, just asking, just curious, never mind.
Yeah, no,
pretend I didn't ask.
I guarantee they had a conversation of, can we get to that buyout number and still pay a new coach? So the situation at Texas A&M is shaky at best. Obviously, he's got the ties with Matt Rhule previously. We know from other people that Matt Rhule has interacted with and coached with and been part of his network that people seem to be really loyal to Matt Rhule and want to come work for him again.
That's another great sign, by the way, that we didn't touch on.
Yeah, he's recollecting all these people that have jobs, by the way. It's not like he's just taking an entire staff. And yes, there's a lot of guys from Carolina that'll probably come over, but from the Panthers that'll probably come over. But Marcus Satterfield's out at South Carolina. Elijah Robinson is obviously at Texas A&M. The name Jeff Nixon has come up. I believe he's currently at Carolina right now as well. These people seem to want to continue working for Matt Rhule, which is a good sign if you're Nebraska. But I think I know people kind of poo-poo it sometimes when big names come up and say, is Nebraska really going to be an appealing spot for him? I think especially if they give him the defensive coordinator title and not just try and make him a D-line coach, I think Elijah Robinson is very much in play for Nebraska.
I think it's a great deal. I mean, when you have, I just picture it this way. Matt Rhule's calling a lot of these guys and they say, where are we going? I'm packing my bags. I'm in. I don't care. I'm in because they put that kind of faith in him. And it goes back to what he said yesterday about what he sees and where he thinks Nebraska should be. He shares that vision with the coaches that he's assembling, but then that's going to filter down towards the recruits. And you see an identity starting to come together. The culture thing. I can't remember if we talked about it yesterday. I know I did off the air. When he got to Baylor, it was a fractured culture. A lot of guys had left. So he got some Popeye's chicken on Monday night and said, hey, I'm going to be watching the football game. Come hang out. And little things like that, and it stuck. It became tradition. Monday night, go watch football in Coach Rhule's office. That's the kind of stuff that he's going to start doing here, in that he wants the guys to feel like they're part of it. And that goes back to what he said yesterday about you winning these games, not then, but winning it in the offseason. It's not just practice. It's not just the weight room. It's everything else that encompasses it.
Yeah, it's the relationship building that I think has been a major part of Matt Rhule's success.
That's why the staff wants to come work for him that he's putting together, because they're like, hey, yeah, that was a pretty special thing we had in just 3 short years at Baylor.
Yeah, and so I wanted to go to Jeff Nixon real quick, because I mentioned he had been with he's at Carolina right now. He came from Baylor with Matt Rhule. But before that, he was an NFL guy. He had been in the NFL for basically 10 years before taking the job at Baylor from 07 to 2017. And so this is a guy that had NFL jobs. He was consistently getting NFL position coach work. And then he gets an opportunity to go be a co-offensive coordinator at Baylor. Then he takes Rhule takes him to Carolina with him. Jeff Nixon's a name that I want people to pay attention to, because I think Now, Jeff Nixon is one of the guys that was retained by Carolina when the firing happened earlier this year. I think you're going to end up, the name Marcus Satterfield's been out there already. I think you're going to end up with co-offensive coordinators with Marcus Satterfield and Jeff Nixon. Satterfield will be your quarterback's position coach. Nixon will be your running back's position coach, and they will share the, Jeff Nixon typically, at least in the past at Baylor, did the play calling. Satterfield was kind of a pass game coordinator type guy, whereas Nixon was play caller, running game coordinator type guy. So that's what I want you to keep an eye on is a couple names, Elijah Robinson and Jeff Nixon. I think those guys could end up being a couple of a coordinator in Robinson's case and a co-offensive coordinator in Jeff Nixon's case. I'd actually be surprised if Nixon doesn't end up being your play caller next year. So that's a guy to keep an eye on as well. I mentioned Ed Foley earlier, who was brought in. He's done tight ends before. He's done special teams before. I don't know if he's going to be an on-field coach or not. He's had a lot of, especially in the last 5 years, he's had a lot of off-field like analyst positions and things like that. I think he's a guy that Matt Rhule really trusts, so I'm not surprised that he's here. I'll be interested to see what his role is. I mentioned this name earlier, Evan Cooper. I know he's coached DBs in the past. He's also been Rhule's kind of point man on recruiting and things like that, recruiting coordinator. I'll be interested to see if he's used as an on-field coach. My point here is there's a lot of options for how the staff will be made up. So when you're looking at the staff and you're like, hey, I don't know about some of these names. Marcus Satterfield they were trying to run him out of South Carolina. Well, the report out of South Carolina is that Shane Beamer tried to keep him, is that he made a push to keep him when Satterfield went to him and told him Nebraska was interested or that he was interested in going with Rhule. So believe what you want about the fans, but from what's being reported is South Carolina head coach wanted to keep Marcus Satterfield there. I don't know how many people watch Spencer Rattler on any sort of consistent basis. He's had a good couple weeks. He's also one of the most infuriatingly inconsistent quarterbacks in college football. So when you look at South Carolina's offense and see, yeah, it's up and down a lot, Spencer Rattler's up and down a lot. And then line that up with what Matt Rhule said in the press conference yesterday. Whoever has the best quarterback play is probably going to win. So if you've got inconsistent quarterback play in a guy that is kind of in the Matt Rhule school of coaching in Marcus Satterfield, and you get inconsistent play from your quarterback, you're probably going to get inconsistent offensive results. That's logic. That's not taking a big stretch here. I mean, we saw it when he was playing at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He got benched for a reason. He was talked about as the number one pick in the draft going into next year and a Heisman favorite. He was benched last year.
For the guy who might be up there this year.
Yeah, that might be the Heisman winner this year. Can't go to the draft yet, but will probably be a top pick when he does in Caleb Williams out at USC. So let's not act like there's a reason Spencer Rattler left Oklahoma. He was going to leave Oklahoma whether Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma or not. Mm-hmm. There's a reason he left. It's because he's a maddeningly inconsistent quarterback. I mean, just go look at his numbers this year. For as talented as he is, I think he had 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He is a maddeningly inconsistent quarterback. So it's hard for me to put all of that on Marcus Satterfield. You know, listen, as frustrated as I got with Mark Whipple at times this year, he was dealing with a crap offensive line. Like, there are limitations to what you can do with a crap offensive line. I didn't have a problem with his play calling for the most part, except for when Casey Thompson wasn't in there. And he was still trying to call plays for Chubba Purdy and Logan Smothers like Casey Thompson was in there, right? That's where I got really frustrated with Mark Whipple. But even with a guy that I've been pretty openly don't love Mark Whipple as an offensive coordinator, at least here at Nebraska, I still can't blame him for everything because of the circumstances that were around him. Look at Marcus Satterfield, his stats with the offense last year. Go look at him this year. You say it's inconsistent. That's fine. It's a dramatic improvement from year one to year two. Even with a quarterback that does not do you a ton of favors. Is he capable of a lot? Absolutely. Does he also put you in some bad positions sometimes? Absolutely. That's why Lincoln Riley benched him last year. Okay? South Carolina didn't have that option. He was clearly the best option at South Carolina, so he wasn't going to get benched. I think he was conscious in that when he went to South Carolina. But even with a quarterback that's super inconsistent, they dramatically improved their offensive efficiency stats from year one to year two under Marcus Satterfield. So I wouldn't be paranoid about it. I wouldn't be paranoid about Marcus Satterfield, but I'd also keep in mind, I think Jeff Nixon comes along as well and probably ends up being your play caller. So even if you don't love Marcus Satterfield, even if you don't buy the case I just laid out for him, I still don't think you have to worry, because I think ultimately he's more of a pass game coordinator than your actual play caller on offense. Just some things to think about. Coming up here next, we're going to talk to our friend Andy Kendi. He was down in Lincoln yesterday as well, and we will wrap up the show here on The Morning Show on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.